Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. It's level 3. We've got Tony Finn for a couple of more moments. He's got work to do. We got Roxy Bernstein joining us as well. I want to get Matthias's UFC picks. FSU, Georgia Tech. Two teams that I'm a fan of, actually, that I've been following closely down the stretch here. FSU all year. Georgia Tech, I've hopped on the wagon a couple of weeks ago. Interesting that they're playing each other. Short price right now. Georgia Tech, hot team right now, Tony. But, you know, I look at this team and they had so much of their success at home. So I figured they might be a little bit overvalued a little bit. They're pretty trendy right now. And people don't give Florida State the love that they deserve. Close game tonight, 3-point win. What's your take on this with the Noles laying 4 points?
And Florida State, listen, you're right, Gabe. They never hardly get the respect that they deserve in basketball. Neither does their head coach, who's one of the, you know, he's just an afterthought when they're talking about coach of the year and those kind of things. He knows how to recruit. He knows how to coach. He's got athletes. He's very much like Baylor. Those kind of teams that can play zone are athletic enough to play man to man. Listen, North Carolina is playing much better. You know, you and I had a conversation about them and Duke last week, if you remember, and I thought Duke was playing better. Well, I couldn't have been more wrong. North Carolina had a chance to win this game tonight, and North Carolina is going to be a tough out despite their record and perception of this team this year. Here's the deal. Georgia Tech has got their veterans. I mean, this is one of the oldest teams, the fourth oldest team in college basketball. Almost everybody's either a heavy junior or a senior. And not only that, they're long and they're lean. Their average height is right there at 76, 77 inches. And they play with two fouls. This is not a team that has a second rotation. When the player gets two fouls in the first half, they still play 66% of the minutes that are left in that half, and sometimes that's early. A good, interesting game, but Florida State has the edge.
Tony Finn, you want the edge? Check out Tony Finn at Wager Talk TV. Follow him on Twitter, Tony Finn, Wager Talk, sportsmemo.com. Tony, I look forward to breaking it down with you next week when we're in the midst of the madness. Thanks for the time, Tony.
Enjoy the weekend, buddy. Thank you.
Bring it.
Remember, you can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, satellite, or the internet. To make it any easier, we'd have to move in with you.
And nobody wants that.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There are 24 hours in every day,
1,440 minutes,
86,400 seconds, and we still have trouble squeezing all this glorious
sports talk in.
Have you thought about maybe sleeping less?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Go down to the track, put it all on a horse.
Why don't you put it in the bank?
bank. This is found money. I want to parlay it. I want to make a big score.
Oh, you mean you want to lose it?
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Grid. Shout out to Sooner Lisa in Norman, Oklahoma. Formerly in Tulsa. And a shout out to all of our friends in Tulsa as well. I'm on the Oral Roberts bandwagon, actually. We talk about this team. I'm very interested to see who they end up playing. Now, you know, first thing is going to be like, oh, who are Michigan playing? And then I'm going to look right away. All right, well, who are Oral Roberts playing? who does Oral Roberts get? Because I'm just hoping that Oral Roberts gets a good matchup and that Oral Roberts is getting like 16, 18 and a half, 23 points or something. They're not going to get any respect. And Oral Roberts, like, we're going to get a boatload of points with them. The question is it going to be enough points? Is it the right matchup, etc.? That's what I'm waiting for. They're a dangerous team. You know, listen, like I said, it's all about the matchups. But Oral Roberts are very good offensively. And not just like the three ball, but they shoot the three ball at 39%. They only turn the ball over 15% of the time, which is extremely low. Like, their metrics are really impressive offensively. It's crazy. Like, they're 39%. It's close to 40. They're seventh in the NCAA. Like, really, out of like 300, there's 357 teams now. Out of 357 teams, Oral Roberts are seventh in three-point shooting. They're like, I don't know, I think they're 17th or 19th or something like that as far as turnovers are concerned. They don't turn the ball over. They shoot the three incredibly well. They hit 82% of their free throws, which is also very good for college. And they take 46% of all of the shots that they take are three-point shots. So the only thing is, whatever, Oral Roberts could go into these tournament games and their three-point shot isn't falling, they get smoked. But I think they can compete. They've got they got some veterans on the team. All right, I want to get into the UFC. We've been really basketball heavy. And Matthias, of course, loves the UFC. And this card, Matthias, is for the diehards. This is for the hardcores. It's not a glamorous card. Not a glamour card, this. And, you know, with everything going on in the sports world, is kind of flying under the radar this week. Lou Gamblou brought up a good point on the show earlier this week, Matthias, and he said, you know, Muhammad, in his last fight, ate a lot of leg kicks. And, you know, he wonders about the quick turnaround here. The number is pretty high. So right now, Leon Edwards is minus 260. How are you betting this fight? How are you approaching this fight, Matthias?
I'm taking this fight on the over, Gabe. Right now, I'm liking Leon Edwards to actually win this fight. It's going to go to the distance, though. I wonder how his adrenaline tank really goes into the later rounds. Another five-round fight for him. We've seen him have some trouble in the fourth and the fifth round. So I wonder how much damage Belal could do, you know, through one and three. If Belal's able to grab a round, you know, around the first round, possibly the third round, you know, we'll see how much damage he could do in the fourth and the fifth. But this is going to be an exciting fight that Belal's probably going to want to take to the ground. I don't see him wanting to stand up with Leon Edwards for five rounds. Leon does have some good boxing, and he looks ripped right now. Watching Leon, during the weigh-ins, he looks legit. He looks like he's been ready to go. He looks fit, and he looks like he's full of energy right now. You know, this will be a fun fight. I'm really looking forward to watching Eric Enders in there at plus 150. He's been doing some great work at Extreme Couture, you know, with guys like Khabib, Dan Ige. That camp right now is in, you know, it's on fire in Las Vegas. And Eric Enders looked brand new at the weigh-ins today. He looks like he's ready to go against Darren Stewart.
Yeah, you know what? It is a cool, I think it is a cool card, actually. It's for the hardcores, but there's a lot of tough dudes on this this card. Speaking of Extreme Couture, Misha Serkinov trained out of Extreme Couture in Toronto. And so you got Serkinov and Ryan Spann. You know, interesting fight here. Serkinov has improved over the years. I'm going to go with Serkinov. Is it a lock? No. You know, it's minus 125. But I'm going with Serkinov. Who are you taking in this fight?
I'm going with Ryan Spann. I like Ryan Spann's jiu-jitsu. You know, the guy, he's a big guy with some heavy punches, but he actually has some really good clinch work. You know, the guy's known for his jiu-jitsu as well. He can get this fight to the ground. He has great Muay Thai as well. But Misha Serkinov is no joke. You know, once he gets you to the ground, if he is to get this fight to the ground, I do pull with Serkinov, but I think Ryan Spann could actually keep this fight standing. He has really good top position, and he's shown that in the past against Sam Alvey. But at, you know, on the contrary, Ryan Spann is a two-round fighter. He always runs out of gas in that third round, and we've seen that in previous bouts. So if Misha Serkinov is to win this fight, he could do some damage in that third round. You know, I do look to, for Ryan Spann to finish this fight. I know he's coming off a loss against Johnny Walker, and I'm sure he wants that fight back because it kind of ended really quickly for him. But the guy he did have a lot of wins in the UFC prior to. And like I said, not just a heavy puncher, man. This guy has great clinch work, and he has some great groundwork as well. You know, he's only 29 years old, fighting out of Fortis MMA. The guy is special, but at the same time, this is a good matchup for him against Serkinov. It should be a fun fight, that's for sure.
The main event, we talk about the total. It's incredibly high. It's 4.5. You got to take the fight to go the distance, and even then you're laying big juice. It's like 2-1 to do it. So there's a couple of fights like this in which, you're going to have to parlay the totals. And Muhammad and Edwards, as you stated, this has overwritten all over it. It's crazy, guys. Like, Muhammad's like 9-1 to the over in the last 10 fights. Edwards, same thing. I think it's 8 straight or whatever, 8-1. Like, they're both over 2.5 machines. But you got to lay the price to do it. So in the main event, guys, yeah, over under 4.5 is -215 right now at FanDuel. The fight to go the distance is -186. So yeah, you can sort of do it. But you know, a fight you mentioned, Ige, is Ige and Tucker. So you know, Matthias, you know, they don't come much tougher than Hawaiians, and they don't come much tougher than Canadians. So you put a Hawaiian and a Canadian in a cage together, and my first thoughts were, give me the over 2.5 rounds, right? Those are my first thoughts for this fight, and I do like it, but the odds makers like it as well. Guys, over 2.5 is -280 right now. Fight to go the distance, -210. So you can parlay this stuff. So you could parlay, you know, you could parlay Edwards and Muhammad to go the distance, and over 2.5 with Tucker +109. I'm just saying, if you parlay the two of them together to go over, you can get plus money, Matthias.
No, most definitely, Gabe. I'm looking at the over in this fight as well, and I'm looking to parlay it as well with Leon Edwards and Bilal Muhammad. You know, a lot of people have been asking me, are you going to pick Ige again? You know, I'm friends with Dan Ige. I love Dan Ige. Dynamite Dan has definitely made his way in the UFC. He's made his ways in Hawaii. But this is a very tough fight for Dan Dynamite Ige. Dan Dynamite Ige is a guy who likes to get his fight to the ground, and he always lets down in the second round. But this is definitely the best boxer that Dan Ige has ever faced. And you know what? Gavin Tucker has improved tremendously with his takedown defense, and I expect him to actually keep showing that off in this fight. I never like to choose against my friends, but right here, I'm starting to lean with Gavin Tucker more and more each day because I feel like he keeps his fight standing.
Really, huh?
And you know what? We saw what Cater did to Dan Ige in the boxing realm of the UFC, and he clobbered Dan. Dan's a great fighter, but he's not a pure boxer, and Gavin Tucker is a pure boxer. So we'll see how that takedown defense holds up for Gavin Tucker, but if he keeps his fight standing, he's going to take this fight.
That's going to be a fun fight. That's going to be a good one. Like I said, it's a fun card. I'm looking forward to watching this card, too. We got basketball going on, but it's a good one. You mentioned Anders, the former football player. So we're going out here, but you're taking Anders as an underdog, you said?
Yeah, I'm definitely taking Anders, Nate. He's done his work there.
Roxy Bernstein steps up and into the late night hours. This is Sports Rage.
There's a pandemic going on out there.
It's catchy.
It's called
The Winning Edge.
And the only place you can get it
is right here.
Get on the grid
and stay there.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's not your wife. It's not your kids. It's not your neighbor. And it sure isn't your boss. Only we understand you. We are your friends.
You're listening to The Winning Edge.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
The late night anger match. The clock continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Moritz. We're kicking it. Sirius XM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, including the Mightier 1090 in San Diego, California. Let's talk basketball. Let's talk Pac-12 basketball. Let's talk March Madness with play-by-play man ESPN, ESPN Radio, Pac-12 Network, Oakland Athletics. Roxy Bernstein steps up and in. Roxy, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you having me. It's fun time of the year. You know, hoops is winding down, baseball starting up, so let's get after it.
Like Costanza said, worlds are colliding, Roxy, and I freaking love it. I love it. But with that being stated, on a more serious note, it's been a rough year, and lives have been lost, and it's been tough on everybody. Yeah, this past week, Roxy, there's been a real sort of mission accomplished type of, you know, atmosphere, because it's been a year, and oh, there was no tournament last year, and look where we were, you know, last year at this day, and where we are right now. But I think as we saw with Duke, with Virginia, with Kansas, this thing isn't over yet, and we're not out of the woods yet, Roxy.
No, and I think it has to be a wake-up call for everybody to take every possible precaution you can take. And look, I think everybody's been as careful and diligent as they possibly can, but it still is a wake-up call that you still have to try to do everything you possibly can do. And even when teams are in these so-called bubbles, they're not immune from getting it. And you feel awful for those programs right now, especially if it wipes out the NCAA tournament, which it appears it's going to do for some teams, because you have that policy where you have to test negative for 7 consecutive days. But again, it's just, I think, a dose of reality in what we're up against. And it stinks. You feel for those kids and what they're going through and those fan bases and the programs. And you have to applaud everybody for the efforts they have made to try to do this as safely as they possibly can.
You know, I really feel for the kids. And even, you know, there were some smaller time programs that got shut down earlier in the week. And I think people, you know, that's the problem with society, Roxy. People sort of judge things by the fame, right? Or the big nameness of it. And I think people, well, Duke aren't very good anyway. So, well, you know, they shut things down. Well, now we have Kansas. Now we have Virginia. But I feel for the kids the most. I mean, this is their dream. This is why they wake up at 6 in the morning. This is why they do what they do every day to get to March Madness. And to have that taken away at the last minute, just heartbreaking.
No question. And for example, as reported, the one kid for Duke was a walk-on who tested positive that forced Duke to pull out of the ACC tournament. I'm sick for that kid because he's going to live with this the rest of his life and the guilt that he's going to feel, right? That it was his responsibility, if you will, but it really isn't his fault. But I just can only look at it through the way I would see it. And it really is sad and unfortunate. And I just feel awful for all the kids involved, and especially that one who has to live with this. But, you know, you think about all the sacrifices these kids have made to be away from their families and to be isolated from their friends, and they can't have those daily interactions. And I'm just speaking on it, Gabe, from a Pac-12 perspective and being around this conference as much as I am, that I know the sacrifices, for example, the kids at Stanford have made, where they were on the road for over 2 months in a row, and they had to play their home games over an hour away from campus. And they were on the road for, 59 consecutive days. I mean, it's crazy what these kids have gone through. So you can understand where the mental fatigue is right now, maybe with some kids. Just hearing the stories of what these kids have gone through this year, I applaud their efforts, and I feel for all of them and everything they gave up for their love of chasing the dream of going to the NCAA tournament.
Roxy Bernstein with us. So you cover the Pac-12, and there's a lot of national criticism and negativity about the Pac-12 often, and the fact that they haven't won a national championship in so long. But I find it interesting, and I say this as somebody that is a Big Ten guy, Roxy. You know, the same criticism doesn't get talked about with the Big Ten. They haven't won since the year 2000 either. And I think there's good basketball in the Pac-12, and I am a big believer in this Duke team. I don't think people realize that they weren't at full strength, and it's been a rough couple of years as far as just health and getting into a rhythm for Dana Altman. But talk to me about the Pac-12 for people that don't watch it on a nightly basis.
Well, first off, Gabe, if I get on my soapbox here for a second, it's completely disrespectful, and the polls are an absolute joke. If you can look at college basketball and not see that Oregon is one of the top 25 teams in America, I can't help you, because you're beyond understanding the game of basketball. Oregon is a tremendous team on the rise, heading into the semifinals of the Pac-12 tournament. They've won 6 straight games. They've won 11 of their last 12. They dealt with the injuries. They're as healthy as they've been all year, and they're doing what Dana Altman teams do this time of the year. If you look at the trajectory of Oregon teams under Dana Altman, really seem to hit their stride and peak and get hot this time of the year. We saw it as they got to the second weekend back in 2019 when they had to win 4 games in 4 days to win the Pac-12 tournament. We've seen them go to the Final Four recently. So this is an Oregon program that somebody's going to see them matched up in their bracket, and they're not going to be very happy to see them, because this team is got interchangeable parts. They can match up with anybody, I think, in the country. They have depth. They can shoot. They defend. They have an elite-level player in Chris Duarte who seems to be climbing up the NBA draft boards. So this is an Oregon team, Gabe, that's going to cause a headache for a lot of people. And don't be shocked if you see them making a deep run, maybe even past the second weekend.
They have all the ingredients, as you stated. We're in conversation with Roxy Bernstein, Sports Rage Late Night, Sirius XM, Channel 204. So I can't help but think of the Pac-12 and not think of Bill Walton. And I know you get asked about him often, but he really is my favorite. I love the wisdom, the wit, the realness, and, you know, the vast knowledge that he has about different things, but it's just the simplicity of it. And, you know, I guess it was last night, actually, and, you know, it was brought up that Utah have never won a game this year if they haven't scored more than 70 points, right? And he said, yeah, they've also not won a game this year when they haven't outscored their opponents. Just a quick wit like that, and not to bring it up, I'm sorry, man. And, of course, legally, I actually had Cal in the game at FanDuel, but, man, that was heartbreaking. The ball was in and out. Roxy, I thought it was in. I thought it was in. And then Bill says, well, to make it a good shot, it had to go in. I'm like, come on, Bill, it's cold. It was a good shot. Like, but Roxy, I thought that shot was in, didn't you?
I did. It looked really good when I left his hand from where I was situated. I was in the building for that game watching it. And I felt for those Cal kids. They played their tails off. And look, I am a proud alum, as you know. I went to Cal, and I want to see my program succeed and do well. And it's been a tough couple of years for the program. And they played a tremendous game and beat Stanford to get to the quarterfinals. And they had a chance. Look, Colorado's a terrific team, as we know. A veteran presence with McKinley Wright. They're going to be in the tournament. They're going to be in a good position. They have a terrific net ranking. And Cal nearly stole it from them last night. And frankly, Cal didn't play all that great, but they played hard, they defended, and they gave themselves a chance. And they gave Colorado all they wanted last night and gave the Buffaloes a scare. And it was sad. I felt for Mikhail Foreman, who took that shot, and it's just the frustration that he had and the disappointment after just looking at him. And it was really tough to watch. But I, as an alum of that program, I'm proud to see how they battled and competed all year. And the amazing thing is also, Gabe, is they made it through the entire season without one positive COVID test.
Amazing stuff. And you have to remember, they are student athletes, and classes aren't easy at Cal. Not everybody can be as smart as Roxy and, you know, go to Cal Berkeley.
I made it through, so I don't know what's as difficult as people are going to.
So as far as Bill is concerned, is it almost like going on Jeopardy or something every day where you're like, you know what, maybe I'm going to read about like the Tibetan monks today because God knows he might bring them up tonight. And it must be a lot of fun, but at the same point in time, on a serious note, Roxy, it's got to be a challenge because you don't want to sound like an idiot when he drops something on you. And it's almost like you've got to be a wingman there and roll with where he goes. It's a lot of fun, but it's got to be a challenge as well.
And I never know where it's going to go, to be honest with you. And that's part of the beauty of it is we don't talk, Gabe. Before we do games together, we don't chat. We don't communicate our ideas and what we're thinking.
So you see it when you sit down. You see it when you sit down. Yeah.
Under normal seasons, yeah, we see each other at shoot-arounds, for example, at team walkthroughs, but we don't converse. We don't talk other than, hey, Bill, how are you? And Bill and I are very friendly. And we'll go to dinner after games, and I've gotten to know his family, and he's just been so welcoming and gracious to me. But there's no plan. And so when he said something, that's the first time I'm hearing about it. And I never know where it's going to go. And I can try to game plan right, and I can try to think about, okay, what possible direction will Bill take it in today? But in reality, Gabe, I have no clue where he's going to go. And that's part of the fun of it. It's like hopping on and riding a bucking Bronco, you know, and just trying to keep everything steered on the tracks with Bill so it doesn't go completely off the rails, because if you lose control, who knows going to happen. So, but, you know, that's part of the enjoyment. I think that's why people find him so fascinating and tune in to watch him, just because of how fresh and how different it is. Look, if he wanted to be cookie-cutter basketball analyst, he's done that. He could do that. When he was doing the NBA, he was more of your traditional analyst. But now I think he's more about celebrating the event, celebrating where he's at, trying to inform and entertain the viewer, but at the same time also realizes there's a basketball game going on and talking about the kids. And that's been the hardest thing for him during this whole pandemic, is we're so detached and removed. We don't have that daily connection in terms of getting to talk to the players, have those face-to-face conversations with the coaches as well. So, and Bill really thrives on that. He enjoys talking to the young student athletes, and I think that is really frustrating during this whole thing, and it's made him sad, to be honest with you. And he just wants to go back to the normalcy like we all do, but he wants to go do his job the way he was doing it before.
I think of the great ambassadors of college basketball, and as a youngster growing up watching Al McGuire on TV, right? And you know, that he was college basketball, but I just think of ambassadors of Dick Vitale, Bill Walton, and what they mean for the sport. So I wanted, before we get you out of here, Roxy, we're up against it, but you talked about the kids and Bill just loving talking to the students and the athletes and the guys that work in the arena. Do they know who he is? Because, you know, security doesn't know who Patrick Ewing is, and I think they should be fired for that. But I was wondering about that, because I see you guys joking up with the kids, and I wonder if the kids, the players know. They're like, this guy's one of the greatest players that ever played, like historically, like the best of the best of the best on the best team of the best team ever. Or do they just think he's that crazy broadcaster dude?
Honestly, Gabe, the majority of them think he's that crazy old guy that, okay, look, you see him, you think, okay, he probably did play.
But to be honest,
they have no idea how good he was. And frankly, I'm not even old enough enough to really have seen Bill in his prime before his body started failing him and breaking down and he got hurt. But I can hear it from, for example, my dad or my uncle, who watched Bill Walton play back in the day at UCLA, but or watch video of him. But to really appreciate him, I don't think these players have any clue, to be honest with you. And you can make the case. Now, he will quickly defer and say it's Kareem, but you can make the case that Bill is the greatest college basketball player we've ever seen.
Roxy Bernstein with us. All right, Roxy, finally in closing, and we appreciate your time. It seems like if Gonzaga and Mark Few are going to do it, this is the year. But it's not going to be easy, and everyone's sort of handing them the trophy. So this final question, your thoughts on Gonzaga, and is this the year that the Zags get it done?
I think it could very well could be. Now, certainly Baylor's fantastic, and Michigan's been playing great. But to me, when I've watched them, and I've watched almost every game pretty closely with them, they are the best team in the country. But as we know, Gabe, this time of the year, it's just 40 minutes, right? And if you're not on your A game, if you're not sharp that day, you're done. They are the best team, but as we've seen, the best team doesn't always win. I like their chances. I think that they're in a really good position to win it, and I love the depth that they have and the way they can score and the balance. And Corey Kispert certainly is a legitimate candidate for National Player of the Year. Jalen Suggs is going to go high in the draft at his elite point guard. They have size. They can shoot it. They defend. So I do like where they're at. It's just a question of, hey, for 40 minutes, will they have their consistent A game going? And that's awfully hard to ask for six consecutive games.
Roxy, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. Continued success, continued safety, and keep up the great work. Always love tuning in and listening to you guys. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
We do this 24 hours a day, every day.
It's real.
And it's here. We've got to come up with a better name for it than fantasy sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio, the internet, TV, satellite, and our mobile app. We make it easy. Like
real easy.
In fact, if you're not listening,
it's you.
It's always you.
Slacker.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. Getting mixed up with a million different clocks here that we're operating on. but we're ready to rock and roll. Thanks to Roxy Bernstein for stepping up and in and kicking it with us. I think I got so excited about the fact that we just went on a 5-0 run to wrap up the NCAA action here this evening. We had the Colorado Buffaloes on the money line, and Colorado won a dramatic game against USC. Game goes over the number. We jumped in on the in-game over. We end up taking Utah State, and props to Steve Merrill. Merrill stepped up and in earlier and gave us Utah State. I wouldn't have been in a hurry to lay points in that game, actually. I haven't had the best of luck with Utah State over the years. But we laid the points with Utah State on the recommendation of Mr. Merrill,
And we were all over Irvine. We liked Irvine. We told you that earlier in the day. And we hit the in-game over there. I don't like talking about it, really, because I am pretty superstitious when it comes to this stuff. I think it's like whenever I start boasting, whenever I tweet out, oh, I'm killing it, or like whatever, you know what I mean? Or even if I think about it, even if I think I'm being successful, then it, in my mind, it's going to like ruin everything. Right. So, you know what? But I figure pretty much the night is done. But it, is it? It's never done. It's never done. We got the Australian League going on right now, although we were wrong last night about the New Zealand Breakers. Brisbane and Sydney Kings in action in the late night hours. Got a pretty high game scoring game going on right now. 62-61 with 5 minutes left. But you know what? This gives us some time. Like I said, I was confused. I thought Roxy was joining us a little bit later on. It's my bad. I told you earlier, Matthias, Friday nights, man. You know, most people, it's TGIF on Friday. Not me. I should start drinking on Fridays. That's what I got to do, like most people. And then maybe I won't be so full of rage. But I got to tell you, Fridays always really get me in. You know, right before the show, Matthias tells me, oh, we have these new promos. And what'd you call them? Returns. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell a return is. There's no return. Rejoins, I felt like rejoin. Bill O'Reilly. Yeah, rejoins. Yeah, there's no rejoin, bro. Yeah, I don't know what it is. There's no rejoin. I've been in this business 19 years. No rejoins. I'm like, oh, the bumper, you mean? But it actually angered me. Like, right before the show, I'm like, what the hell is this guy even telling me this for? I'm like, I told him. I'm like, I don't care what bumpers or rejoins or whatever the hell you want to call them. I said, I don't care what they are. I said, I'll start talking when I start talking, and you play whatever you have to play. So I'm thinking, I'm like, why the hell is this guy telling me this right before the show? And then I was all angry about it. I'm like, you know, I don't even know what the hell he's talking about. And then the Irvine game tips off, and I didn't get my Irvine bet in, and it really enraged me as the game started. And then there's nothing worse, too, because everything, you can get everything in the in-game, right? But there's nothing worse than you want to get a game in, and you don't get it in, and you can't make this up, Matthias. I wanted to take Irvine. I said Irvine tonight all day. I'm like, Irvine will beat Riverside. But the show, the game snuck up on me. There's other games going on. And we're coming on live. All this stuff's going on. You're talking to me about rejoins and crap. And I didn't get to play it. And I look up, and Irvine's up like 9-0, man. And I'm like, oh, my God. And they're not like, dude, they were underdogs. Suddenly, they were big favorites. So I had to wait. And I was like, all right, I got to wait for the right spot to jump in here because I'm going to rage if I don't win money on this game. And I had no choice. I had to lay 8.5. At one point, I was like, whatever, dude. I'm like, they're going to kill them. They're up. I liked the way it was going. But I didn't like the number. But I hit the in-game over as well. So I feel a lot better now that I just went 5-0, Matthias, in college. It makes me feel better. Doesn't quite bring a smile to my face, but it makes me feel better.
Well, I feel like it's my fault for bringing up those rejoins, so I feel terrible for losing your money on damn Irvine. Yeah, but you know, Irvine.
Yeah, but I didn't lose. I was already trying to forgive you, even though I was. It's not your fault that I didn't get a bet in, but the rejoin didn't help. the rejoin stuff, and now I got like the mics, the mic cables all over the place here. Right. Yeah, the rejoins, you and your damn rejoins just rattled me all night, and I'm only happy now because in the end we ended up going 5-0 on the way out. Nice way. You know what? I'm gonna shut things down. I'm not playing any Australian action, bro. We went 5-0 to end this night. Why mess with him, Matthias?
No, I'm with you, Gabe. I'm going to end on a good note, too. I'm glad you're ending on a good note. I'm already looking at tomorrow's matchups. You know, games early in the morning. Michigan, Ohio State, 10 a.m. Pacific, -6. Tennessee, Alabama. I'm going to get some action in there as well. Iowa, Illinois. Lots of good Big Ten action and SEC action. I'm excited for tomorrow.
Yeah, and we were talking about the UFC. Like I said, I was all confused with the time. I was like, man, I guess I was like, oh, yeah, all right, is Roxy joining us now or is he later? And like, you know what? I usually don't space out very often. I don't, but I got caught up. It's these games. I'm not going to lie. And I don't know if you, did you guys see the clip? Did you see the clip, Matthias, on Twitter of Pat McAfee? It was actually really, really funny. I don't laugh out loud very often, but I just did right now, even thinking about it. But Pat McAfee, bro, he's talking to, I don't know, he's talking to an NFL player. All right, pretty big name, too. He's talking to an NFL player, except so the guy's talking, and in the video, they show McAfee's eyes and his face, and he's doing the interview, but the whole time it is, he's sort of looking over and stuff, eh? And it was a college basketball game. And McAfee lost a bet at the buzzer, and he sort of, like, cringed a bit, and he had no idea what the guest was talking about anymore. And he's like, oh, man. And he's like, listen, he's like, but the video is too good. They slow it down of McAfee's eyes always drifting. Cam used to be the king of the drift. He's much better at it now. We'll see now there's more action on. He is better at it only because he's been called out for it by everybody. Cam will like his eyes. Like I watch him and Kurtz on Sunday night sometimes. Kurtz's head's like The Exorcist. Kurtz's head's like sideways looking at a TV like God knows where. And Cam like is trying to stay still, but his eyeballs are like looking elsewhere. And I told him, I said, it's incredibly distracting. So you got to look, either look forward or like down or put the damn game on a screen in front of you. And remember last year we got into a big thing with Cam. He refused to move his TV. So even as host, it happens where I got to admit, I got caught up in the 5-0 stuff and I got confused. My feed is like a few seconds behind. It's kind of, I don't want to get into technical and stuff, but we're on a million different affiliates. We're on all this different stuff. So sometimes I'll, you know what I mean? We're coming in here and I'm sitting here and I sort of clued in. I'm like, oh man, I think I might be like 15 seconds off late here. as I'm staring at a screen about the NCAA. I mean, it's not even, the tournament hasn't even started yet. We've lost it. This is the definition of when they talk about it, Matias. You know when the tournament's on? They should just give people the day off because of lost manpower hours. No one does a good job anyways. Fortunately, it's our job to watch these games and stuff. I've got to get a new clock or something. I was boasting about, I don't have a clock.
I think we're doing all right. You know what I mean? Because yesterday I heard it was an F-bomb that slipped on the air. During that Indiana game.
Yeah, I was going to say, not us. Not us. I got into it in Las Vegas like that once, bro. I didn't. I was on in Vegas, and we did the show, and it was like an hour show only. Me and Jorge Gonzalez, K-Don, and we do the show, and I'm in the studio there. I'm living in Vegas. We're in the studio, and the girl comes up to me after, the producer, like the, she was operating. She starts like yelling and freaking out and stuff. She's like, I don't know what the hell you're doing. And she goes, you think, you know, you're on Sirius and this isn't Sirius. And like, she goes, you can't swear on this station. She goes, you swore like three times. And I'm like, no, I didn't. and I'm like, no, I didn't. And we got into a big fight and stuff. And I told her, check the tape. And we actually did. And whatever, she flipped out because there was swearing during the commercial breaks, Matias. And she could hear us. She thought she was so like ditzy. She thought it was on the air type thing. But yeah, I'm not going to lie. There's been F-bombs dropped during a commercial break. So yeah, I guess someone got a little heated earlier in the week during a basketball game. and it happens. But that's why there's delays. So thank you for the kind words, Chris Beatty. Brady, shout out to everybody in our chat here. James kicking it in Australia. James, a hardcore viewer and listener of the network. We appreciate it, James. Shout out to our boy Crash. We call Crash because once Crash knocked over my computer in Los Angeles and it actually crashed, cracked the screen pretty good. So I said, good job, Crash. His name's actually Nate. But I called him Crash after I crashed the computer. I will admit the computer was on a precarious, it wasn't on the most stable table. We love you, Crash. No, the computer was fine. It was on a downfall after he crashed into it. Crash is a big man, too. he's a big man. Shout out to John Doe. John Doe in California. Paulo, I believe, is in Toronto. So we really are international. We've got Australia, California, Oklahoma, Canada. We got people tuning in from all over the place here. It's the great thing about the Rageaholics. We're an international. It's an international show, literally and figuratively. Speaking of which, where's Matthias from Germany? You know, he's normally around. I know the time zone difference is kind of weird for him, but we've got listeners in Germany as well. All right, so we're going to try to lock in a couple of picks for you before we're done here. Now that I've got my my bearings back, the clock is once again set. I'm sure the phone line's going to be right. What the hell's going on? What's going on here? Blame the returns, Matthias. Say those new bumpers mess with Morenci. Those damn bumpers. I swear to God, you're lucky Irvine won by more than 8.5. Otherwise, I'd be like, oh, God, I hate this night.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't.
And wish you had.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To win, you need a strategy.
A plan.
You've come to the right place. We're the home of sports gaming strategies and information to give you
the winning edge. I mean, we're not just doing this for our health.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, we're into the three-minute warning. Shout out to our main man, Yang. Master Control, Studio 34, Midtown Manhattan. I'm not sure when his birthday was exactly, but happy birthday. I know it was your birthday the other day. I'll send you a message later. So happy birthday, Yang. Yang's got a little work to do, tidy up our bad clock management. I'm like a football coach. I lost, you know what I mean? Bad clock, man. Timeout. I swear, you know what? Like when a coach's like, no, it's on me, all right? Like sometimes you see the quarterback, what'd you call timeout for? The coach is like, just shut up, all right? I call the timeout because I screwed up the time. That's why. And you know what? I need to talk to you. That's why. We've had much the worst things happen, trust us. So, like Matthias said earlier, there's been much worse things to happen than our clock issues. As far as this game, listen, I'm going to tell you something right now about this Michigan game. We still don't know about the liver situation. He's not going to be playing tomorrow, but I doubt he's playing. I believe the rumor to be true that he's injured for real. But I don't know, man. Are they going to hammer, like, the hammer down on Juwan Howard before the game? He did threaten to kill the coach. Like, no one's denying it. Like, he did threaten to kill the coach of Maryland. He might get suspended, right, in the morning. I don't know. Something, you know, something to consider about this moving forward.
Do they need proof, though, Gabe? Shouldn't they have some sort of proof in order for that to happen, like a soundbite or something?
Well, I kind of believe that he did say it. There's no fans, so yeah, they'll hear it. His voice is loud, right? So you're right. It'll be true or not. I don't know. He's not denying it. Howard never denied it. Did you hear Howard say I never said that? No. He said that Turgeon charged at him, right? So he said he was defending himself. As Larry King, the great Larry King, may you rest in peace, Larry. Big fan of your work, sir. As Larry King said, if you're going to see one movie this year, make it Ishtar. If you're going to bet one game tomorrow, Oklahoma State. Listen, Texas are scrappy. They got a free pass into the final here. They won by 1 point the other night I was on them. Oklahoma State are just better. The Oklahoma State Cowboys win this game and are your Big 12 champs. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Lost in a sea of stats, averages, and injury reports?
It's okay.
You found it. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.